So the message around water baptism, as we talk about having a water baptism service, I think it's important to have some fundamentals about what it really means. If we look at the word biblically in the text, we would see that the original wording for that is baptizo, and it means to like fully submerge. It means to go down in the water, not a sprinkling, but a full submersion. I love the idea when I think about it in my mind, is that imagery-wise. So if you get into the water, you're going down in a sense. And I picture it like this. I'm going down to the pit of hell. I'm taking along with me all my luggage, all my past, all my junk, and I'm leaving it there at the pit of hell, and I'm saying, I'm done with that. I'm dead to that, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to be alive with Christ. I'm going to leave all that baggage behind, and I'm not going to take it back with me. And I love to think about it like that. I'm kind of dropping off my junk where it belongs, and I'm going to leave it there. We're going to pick up a story here, Romans chapter 6, that just speaks so clearly. I mean, we could read this piece of scripture and be done with the message because it's just so clear to us. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Like we just talked about, we go down, we leave all that junk, we die to ourselves, we die to all that old stuff. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, we too may live a new life. We can't have new life and a life that would follow Christ if we don't die and are raised with him. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified, our old ways all died off with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we know that we should no longer be slaves to sins, because anyone who has died has been freed from it. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We were baptized to death. We die to our old ways. We die to our old nature. And I think the greatest example for me was, I wish I would have brought some imagery here today, is a pickling cucumber, just a small cucumber. We see, we eat it. That's kind of nice. I like those kind of cucumbers. But if you take that cucumber and you put it in a jar and you put some vinegar in there and, maybe some dill, that's nice, and some garlic. And sometimes people put jalapenos in there, it gets a little bit spicy. But so you've got now something different. You take it out and you realize, you look at the two, it might look a little bit color different, but it's the same thing, but something has radically changed about it. It's been baptized in the vinegar, and it's a new product. It's not the same product. It's not a cucumber. It's now a pickle. And I think it's just such a great imagery for me to explain water baptism. We try and explain the Godhead. Sometimes we use the egg image, the triune Godhead, like three different things. And the Holy Spirit, I feel like, is the same way in baptism. We were a certain way. We actually still look the same way, but internally something has radically changed inside of us. I don't know if you've been water baptized, but I want to challenge you. I don't know what you've done in the past that may be holding you back from getting water baptized, but I pray in Jesus' name you'd step up to the plate and get water baptized. The second story here is in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We see here the story, we pick it up where Jesus has been crucified. He rose again. He visited over, 500 people, said hello, said goodbye to his disciples. He told them to wait around for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows up on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter gets up to explain to the crowd what's happening. The people are like, they're convicted. They're like, wow, look, it's going on here. What is going on? And so we see here Peter says something. And it's really the launching, if we were to go back in history, look at our church history. Azusa Street, Holy Spirit shows up, we see that. But let's go even further back. The launching of church that we stand in today, the history of that. And Peter here is going to be giving some words about how are we going to launch the church? What would be some fundamental truths? We've got this date in history. We've got it right in scripture here. What is he going to say? I love this thought. So in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, the very laying of the foundation of the church here. It says, when the people heard all of this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, What shall we do? What are we going to do is the question. Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. I love that. There's three things. Repent, get baptized, and get the Holy Spirit inside of you. I'm not sure if it really matters the order in a sense, like you got to repent. You got to get saved. I think there's no question about that. That's got to be number one. But then getting baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we see those in different orders. For me, it was repent. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I got baptized later. I see many times in Scripture, repent, people get baptized, and then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the order that matters besides salvation. What matters is that you do it. Well, you don't just, I got saved, and I don't know about the other ones. I'm not quite sure about it. You do all three of them. You get baptized, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I think Pastor Andrew did a wonderful job, an excellent job explaining the filling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Filled with the Spirit was the message. If you missed it, go back and watch. It was a brilliant presentation of the gospel. So again, if you haven't been water baptized, don't worry about the order of it. Just get water baptized. If you're like, well, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized, then pursue that. Get water baptized. There is this great piece of, all Scripture. Why do I always say this? It's a great piece of Scripture. All Scripture is great. But in Hebrews chapter 6, there's this wonderful teaching here. It challenges my thinking when I think about, okay, I'm growing the Lord, and how am I doing spiritually? And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. It's so good because it starts with a therefore, and therefores are wonderful. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and to faith in God, instruction about baptisms, elementary teaching. We've got to know about this. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. We will learn these elementary teachings. Oh, in Jesus' name, we would learn them. Elementary teachings or laying a good foundation, I picture it like this. My neighbor, he's got all of a sudden all this work going on in his yard. Beep, beep, beep. All these trucks coming in and out. They're laying a foundation for this thing that he's building, his man cave, and for his wife, the she shed. It has a washroom in it as well. It's hilarious. It's just this, these two giant structures that are just for the two of them. But it's interesting how many days and weeks it took to get that foundation right, pour all that concrete, and then overnight, walls went up. Like, putting the walls up was easy, but if you don't have the foundation right, the walls will be all out of sync. And if you can't put a washroom in, if you didn't put the plumbing in, as we found out when we put the washroom in, the main level washroom, remember we had to jackhammer the floor out. So you've got to get the foundation right. And I think with all this extra time that we have right now, lots of us are kind of considering some of the things that we've had on the back burner for a while. We're kind of reanalyzing, like, actually, maybe I could use a new car, or maybe I should be renovating certain things. So I want it to be the same with our spiritual life. But as we've got this extra time on our hands, we would say, there's some things that I've been lacking. There's been some things I've been procrastinating with, and I want to pursue them again. So again, if you haven't been water baptized, don't let your understanding hold you back. Let the Word of God speak to you today. John chapter 3 is a wonderful story about Jesus speaking with a religious person and how he breaks it down to him. So let's read it together. John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with you. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one could see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I like it how he's just asking a question. What's going on here? You got to get born again. Jesus just jumps right in there. How can a man be born again when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answers, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Watch what he adds here. Unless you're born again, but born of water and of the Spirit. He adds something there. It's so good. Verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So with it, everyone is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Question mark. Nicodemus is asking. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said. Oh, watch, he just gets right up in his face. You are Israel's teacher, and you don't understand the things that I'm telling you, the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you don't even believe. You don't even understand. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things or of spiritual things? Again, Jesus is speaking to a religious person, somebody that has figured it out in their head, but they haven't figured it out in their heart. They're not being obedient to the word. They're just following it like a law book. And there's so much contrast there, and Jesus is calling them out on it. Watch the writer of Hebrews. We just read here. Hebrews chapter 5, the writer here is speaking to believers here. So we see how Jesus speaks to religious people about spiritual things, about spiritual baptisms. And we're going to see how the writer here is speaking to believers, so to you and I. This is an interesting and humbling piece of scripture. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Oh man, that hurts. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by contrast have been trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You know, it says right there, so by contrast, by constantly putting into practice these things, you will be training yourselves up to know solid food, to know spiritual things, and not to be filled with milk. Where did gentle Jesus go in that conversation, right? Gentle Jesus is just like loving us, encouraging us. He's just calling us out right here. You need to understand these elementary truths. You need to understand biblical principles before we can move on. And it might take a little while to lay a good foundation so that the rest of your life can line up with it. If water baptism, spirit baptism isn't a part of your foundation, you need to reanalyze that and question yourself and allow the scriptures to really convict you. That's some hard teaching right there. That's some hard language that you and I are slow to learn when God is trying to speak to us again and again and again. We've got to have a solid, solid foundation. If you think about all the babies that have been born recently in our church, this is really unfortunate that they're going to be on milk. They're going to move to solid food and possibly until we get to see them again. How many babies and how much taller have my kids gotten since the last time we saw each other? How many more gray hairs have I got since the last time we saw each other? But we see here that these babies are going to move from milk to solid food, and it's very natural. It's part of their development. It's part of their maturity. It's part of their growth. You and I are the same way. You know, that we move to solid food, move to solid teaching, because if we just stay on milk forever, we're not going to grow, we're not going to develop, we're not going to mature. So getting water baptized is part of a natural growth and maturity and taking the next step. Let's pick up another story because there's so many great stories here. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. So the people were wondering as John the Baptist was around and people were wondering, maybe this is Christ. Maybe this is Jesus coming back. Maybe this is the Messiah. So John speaks directly to that in verse 16 of chapter 3. John answered them all, I baptize with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with honking fire. Whoa, yeah, thank you, Jesus. It's so good. We love it. Because we need fire. We need to be purified. I love it. Fire is like a purifying agent. And when I picture that in my mind, I always like imagery. So let's use this example of, you know, you get your dishes at the end of the day. You've already eaten. And you get yourself the sink full of soapy water, hot soapy water. And you take your dishes. And you're, oh, my gosh. You didn't even eat all your food. And you got to scrape it off. You know, I don't even know if you like that food. But anyways, you get it in the water. You get it all cleaned up. Then you take it out and you realize, there it is. It's clean. It's been clean. It's been baptized in a sense, and you've taken all the dirt off it, and now it's clean. You'd have such a hard time taking all that dirt, all that sin, all that garbage out of the water and putting it back on the plate, wouldn't you? That would take a lot of effort. I don't even know if it's possible to try and strain out all the filth and the garbage and put it back on, make the plate all dirty again. That's pretty much impossible. So it's the same way for you and I. As we give our lives to Christ, we go into the water, we die to all that stuff. We just leave it in the water. And the only way we're able to take it back is if you and I turn back to it and try and grab it back, I got to get all that dirt back off. You know, why would we do that? Leave it in the water. Be released from it. Be freed from it in Jesus' name. I love thinking like that. Get baptized again. If you got baptized at a young age, maybe you were so young you don't remember. Maybe you turned away and you fell away and now you're back to be with Christ. It's okay to get baptized again. I don't think there's anything biblical about it. You know, once you're at 12 or 13 times baptized, I think I'm going to be like, I'm going to cut you off now. But anyways, if you've fallen away and you feel like, hey, I want to rededicate my life, it's okay to get baptized again. Maybe again, if you were young and you got baptized, you want to do it when you're a little bit older, that's fine. But just make sure that at some point in your life, you get baptized. Put to death your past and be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. How can you live this life out? Jesus has called you to live this very challenging. If you read the scriptures, it's challenging to walk out. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it in a religious way in your mind. It has to be birthed from the Holy Spirit. It has to be birthed with fire so you can overcome life. Just a great thought there. In conclusion, I want to go back to Romans chapter 6 because it's just such a powerful piece of scripture. I want to just allow it to speak to your inner body. Allow it to feed your soul right now. Feed your spirit. Verse 3 of chapter 6 in Romans. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of his Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live. Oh, let us live with Christ. Let us have a relationship. Let us be friends of Christ. Let us know him intimately. I like this teaching on the sense of like having the right tools for the job. You know, having the right understanding of scripture, having the right, being filled up with the right things, not just our head or other people's interpretations. When I was changing my tires, I apologize, this is kind of late. Some of you are probably like, well, that guy was taking forever to do that. But I was changing my winter tires over to my summer tires. Now, like almost every vehicle, if you were to open it up, you know, you got people on the side of the road with a flat tire, you pull out the tools to do the job. You know that little jack right there that's got the little arm. So you got to get under the car, get all dirty, get it on, you know, the right spot there. And you got this little thing. And it's going up slowly. Sometimes you kick it, or sometimes it shifts. Oh, you got to do it again. Like, that's painful. And then you've got got to get the lugs off. So you've got this iron, you know, and you're thinking, oh, please, Jesus, fit on this lug here. You just hope it fits. And then you get the tire off, and you're doing it all by hand. And it's exhausting. But then, you know, at some point in your life, you kind of upgrade to some power tools. You know, you've got your garage. Now I got my garage. I've got like a 3-ton jack under there. You just look kind of like this. It's like, up goes the vehicle, got your power tools, you know, kick the winter tire off, summer tire on. I get my kids to do that part. I don't want to do that part. Don't come and get my hands dirty, right? You know, lugs go back on, and you just turn this little knob, car goes down. Like, brilliant. So much easier. It's the same way when we live our lives with Christ. I'm telling you, I've tried those kind of ways before with hand tools. It's exhausting. It is painful. You get dirty. You get hurt. You hurt your knuckles. They start bleeding. But if you've got the right tool, if you have power tools, if you got the Spirit, if you got fire, oh, man, it's fun to live that kind of way. And if we can turn our eyes upon that, turn our eyes and focus upon that, get the right foundation so that we can live for Christ, live the way that he wants us to, be filled with the Spirit and with fire. To get water baptized is a godly principle. It's a biblical principle. It's a wonderful foundational principle. I don't know what's holding you back when you look at scriptures like that. You should pick up the phone right now if you haven't been water baptized. Phone the office. Leave a message. Nancy, the greatest secretary in the world, will answer that, and she'll get back to you later, and we'll line you up to get water baptized. Maybe that you don't have her phone number, and I don't give it to you because I think I forgot it right now. I'm joking. But you can go to our website. You can fill out the contact page on our website and give us that information. Say, hey, I want to get water baptized. Or you can even make a comment online if you're that bold to say, I need to be water baptized, and we'll get you on the list. We'll get you baptized. Allow this season during restrictions for us to just grow and mature in the things of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that everyone listening would receive your truth and your word. If they haven't been baptized, that they would, without hesitation, make the call and get baptized. Lord, if somebody's listening to this, you know, weeks and months and years later, I pray the same thing would happen. They would find a church. They would get baptized in Jesus' name. God, we honor you. We thank you for your word. You've been so faithful and true. In Jesus' precious name, amen.